Well, welcome once again to Voice of Reason Radio. Your host, Chris Honholtz and Richard Story, joining you on January 4th, 2021. We made it! We made it! We got through the dreaded 2020. One of the weirdest, most difficult, and stress-inducing, anxiety-producing years, at least in my lifetime. But we got through it, and we are now into 2021, which is just essentially going to be 2020, the sequel. I'm pretty sure of that. But we made it. We got through this one, folks. Welcome to the first episode of this new year. Thank you for being with us. I apologize. I meant to put at least a rerun episode up last week, but with the holidays and families and all, everything else, oops, I'm sorry, I forgot to put it up. That's really on me. I do apologize for that. It is a Monday. We are, we're recording on a Monday evening. Normally we try to do this Friday or Saturday, but again, holidays, family time. So we wanted to get this out, at least this new one out for this year. And then we're going to try, as we hopefully accomplished last year, to put out an episode every week as much as the Lord allows us to do so. If you are new to Voice of Reason Radio, thank you for joining us. We are part of the Christian Podcast Community. That is a collection of podcasters that have come together for the express purpose of, doing good podcasts with good Christian theology, and you will find a great many of them on there. I would encourage you to go check it out. Look for Christian Podcast Community and just plug it into Google and you will get there. You can also find it on our website and sometimes in our show links. But if you are always looking for good programs to listen to, I really, really encourage you check out Christian Podcast Community. You will find some great stuff. We are a program that is basically this. Rich is in Mississippi. I'm in Nevada. Rich and I have known each other for over 7 years now, Rich. And neither of us have met each other face to face, by the way. Some of you still don't think that's true, but it is. And we basically get on the air every week and have a conversation about, something that is either in the world, something that we've read in scripture, something that we want to talk about from a Christian perspective with two goals in mind. And that is, number one, to glorify God, and number two, to edify the saints. That's our stated goals from day one, which, by the way, Rich, day one is only, we're just a few months away of 5 years from day one. We're going to have to figure out something to do with that. We have been doing this particular program for over 4.5 years. Come April, we'll make it 5 years, unbelievably. And we have just been blessed by each and every one of you that tune in each and every week. But that's what you're tuning into. You are getting to listen to two brothers in Christ have a conversation about the things of God. And we're not learned scholars. We're not seminary or Bible college trained. We submit to our pastors and elders. And we are blessed to have people who care about our souls and shepherd us and preach the gospel to us and our families each and every week. And so we try to do something with that. We try to share what we learn and share what is God is growing us in, and even hot button topics we sometimes get into. And that's the whole point, is to, what is the one true voice of reason in this world? Well, it's the Word of God. You have to filter everything through that lens. So we thank you for joining us. And Rich, I know your answer, but since we may have, it's a new year, and there's people who are hearing us maybe for the first time. How you doing this week, brother?
Oh, well, let's see. I'm trying to decide. Do I go through the entire list? Actually, brother, I'm better than I deserve, and that's generally my answer.
Amen.
One of these days, you're going to do that, and I'm just going to go off and just start naming stuff one way, whether good or bad, and just see how long you'll sit there and listen before you tell me to hush.
I'll probably just be sitting there slack jawed, going, "Well, that was not in the pre-show notes. What happened?"
one thing you did forget, and you may not have realized, and I might be mistaken, but if I'm correct, this is episode posting number 180. Now, granted, some of those have been reruns, but number of episodes we have posted and put out there. If I'm not mistaken, this is episode number 180.
That may well be. I'm trying to look it up, but this phone is being kind of stubborn. But you may well be right. That might be correct. I mean, nearly 200 programs of us doing this. That's how do people listen to us talk that much? I think I would go crazy if I had to listen to myself talk that much.
if you do the math, in 4.5 years, 52 weeks in a year, we're way behind.
well, we will admit the first couple years, I mean, it was messy. I mean, we were hit and miss. I mean, we, you know, trying to get a show out every week was a challenge, and it really wasn't until coming back from Shepherd's Conference of 2019 where God was kind of like, I want you to see something here. And he let us see through the people that I had talked to what kind of stuff that was, or what, the number of people that were listening. And what surprised me in all of that was that people wanted to hear it and they wanted to hear more of it. And they were encouraged by the things that we did. And so in 2020, we tried, you know, from 2019 through 2020, we tried to be far more consistent. And I think we came pretty close. I mean, I don't know that in 2020 we hit every single, well, I know not every single week because I messed up last week, but I think probably for the first time came as close as we ever did to putting out something every single week. And that's only by the grace of God that we were able to accomplish that. So you're right. I mean, we're behind the power curve, but we're trying to catch up.
Well, did you have an enjoyable couple of weeks with Christmas and New Year's and everything, family and eating and food? Did you enjoy latter part of 2020?
I ate way too much. I can't eat. I'm going to be 47 next month. I'm like on the downhill slide to 50, and I cannot eat like I used to, and I forget that every once in a while. So yeah, I did eat a little too much food. And you know, I think it's the most evil thing in the world that my job makes me do my annual physical in January. I just don't think that's right.
that is so wrong on so many levels, because you know, technically you probably need that done like in June, because January is a reflection of everything you've had in Thanksgiving and November and December and post Christmas, and you know, all of us tend to overindulge a bit during that time of the year. So yeah, that is not right in many ways.
It's not fair
to make you go through that battery of tests every January. And you know, I could see you probably a week, maybe 2 weeks out, you're doing everything you can to sweat out all that grease and fat and burn out as much cholesterol as you can. And you know, I could see you trying to keep up with Dr. White on a treadmill or a stationary bike.
Get that image out of your head, because I'll never do that. That man is a machine. That's all I'm saying. He's not human. Okay. The guy goes on like 100-mile bike rides for fun. No. there's no, I'm not keeping up with him. You know, if I walk across the room, I break out in a sweat. I mean, come on. It's not. it is. I think it's particularly evil. But when they give me my numbers this year, and I get my fat boy letter, which is what we tend to call it, I'm just going to say, look, dude, 2020. And the doctor's going to go, oh, yeah. Okay, never mind.
Well, let me put this warning out to anyone that has tuned in. Tonight's episode is somewhat on the light side, and there may be a lot of rambling.
We don't do that normally.
Very, very serious episode, you might want to wait and tune into the next one, because these episodes tend to happen when Chris and I have not actually talked person to person in 2 or 3 weeks, and we have a lot to get caught up on and get out of our system. I told Chris tonight in pre-show, when we've gone 2 or 3 weeks without actually talking on the phone to each other, we probably need to schedule a day before we record, just so we can get our 2 hours of chit chat out of the way before we actually record. So maybe that's something we can work on as we go into 2021.
Yeah. Okay.
I did notice one amazing thing that came out of 2020. Obviously, the pandemic and the outbreak of COVID completely cured the influenza virus and the quote unquote flu, because I guess that has, you know, been completely cured. It's gone away. We're never going to have to deal with that again because, you know, according to the CDC numbers and all the research, you know, the cases of flu or influenza is down like 99.5% versus this same time next year. So I guess we can be thankful that COVID has cured the flu.
Yeah, it's an amazing miracle, and it is such a pandemic virus that is, you know, going to kill the whole entire world and turn us into zombies, that if unless you're over a certain age bracket, you have a 99.95%, you know, survival rate. And it's clearly, you know, the end of the world illness. But yes, it's managed to wipe out the flu. I never, you know, and it's hysterical, because if you ask people, well, why are the flu numbers down? Well, because everybody's masking and social distancing. Well, why is COVID up? Because not enough people are masking and social distancing. So 2020 was a case study in we lost our minds, is really what 2020 was.
Brother, I just want to put this out there so people know that that is not an exaggeration what you just said about the mask.
Mm-hmm.
I was in an online conversation with a lady, and she claimed to be a nurse, and she started talking about how they do testing and this, that, and everything else. And what, after being pressed with questions, that is basically how she replied.
Yeah.
At one point, she was saying the flu is down because people are washing their hands and they're wearing masks and they're keeping the distance. And later the question was posed, then why are COVID numbers up? Well, there's not enough people wearing masks or doing this. And what I said that about the CDC, you can go to their website and look at the statistics for yourself on flu cases this year versus the same time last year. Well, at the end of 2020 versus the end of 2019. Also, the total number of deaths for the last 3 years, including 2020, has remained at a statistical constant. That's what seems to be a little bit of a mind twister for some pro-pandemic people. You know, you would think if the pandemic was as, quote, you know, I don't know another way to put it, if it was as bad as what they claim, you would logically think that you would see an increased number of deaths during 2020 versus 2019, 2018, or 2017. But statistically, the average number of people that die each year has remained the same.
Mm-hmm.
That's one reason why I have really a hard time believing a lot of what they put out about COVID and the pandemic and the number of deaths, because, you know, to me, logically, COVID did not replace the flu. You would think that you would see the normal average number of flu-related deaths, but there would be an increase on top of that for COVID-related deaths.
Yeah.
And that's just another reason why I personally think all of it's getting meshed together, and the flu and the influenza has not gone away, has not been cured. They just renamed it COVID.
Well, I would say that, you know, let's acknowledge right up front, the COVID numbers are very difficult to be trustworthy, mostly because we have seen over and over, and by the way, this is not a COVID-related episode. It just happens to be part of the topic. we're talking a little bit about 2020, and we're going to talk about looking into 2021. So COVID is part of that, folks. Then we know the numbers are skewed because hospitals and states and all kinds of municipalities and stuff and feds, they keep getting caught. You know, like a guy dies falling out of an aircraft when his parachute doesn't work, or he's a motorcycle accident and they die and they say, oh, there was COVID on board, so therefore it's a COVID death. Or cooking the books to say, oh, in Florida, well, it's a 95% infection rate. Oh, wait, you forgot. You wanted the positive tests recorded too. Oh, well, that's 5%. You know, so it was the numbers that were cooked so many times over that the legit numbers are difficult to really know what the infection rates and everything are. But assuming that we can, put those into, you know, an adding machine and have it work, the simple fact is, I believe, you know, there are distinct differences between somebody who has the flu and COVID, because COVID has certain things. It's a respiratory illness, you know, kind of like bronchitis, for example, or pneumonia. And so there are certain aspects of it that are different than flu, but there are some things that are similar as well. And the problem is that, you know, I think Dr. White on Alpha and Omega, or excuse me, a dividing line, sorry. New year and I'm already messing up. But on Dividing Line was talking about, you know, we're testing at for a certain amount of cycles that they test through to get the fragments off the virus to see if they put it through so many cycles to see if those fragments are in the blood test, and therefore if they have those, you know, things come up after so many cycles, the person has COVID. Except that the number that even the Fauci, who has moved the goalposts so many times, it's ridiculous, admits that after, I think the number was 35, it's a questionable test about how reliable it is. And the threshold on a lot of these tests is 40 cycles. So we're going beyond. So it's like, how much of it is legitimately COVID? Don't know. How much of it is flu related compared to COVID? Yeah, there's probably some crossover. But the sad part of it is one of the issues of 2020 was how easily and how quickly people around the world, not even just in America, but around the world, were panic induced because of an illness. And it's not to say that it isn't serious. I mean, we know people who have gotten it and how that has, you know, in some cases tragically taken their lives or made their lives miserable because of the underlying factors. There's no question that it's he gives me so much grief for not liking pineapple pizza, but I'm going to say something nice about Ecky. He's a pastor that I interact with on social media, and he got it, and he got sick, and he posted some stuff on Twitter about it. So I mean, we know it can be a miserable illness, but even he recognizes that. Even though he's gotten sick, even he's a pastor and impacted his ability to minister in his church. Even he recognizes how insane this has become. And he's, by the way, Ecky's a great guy. I have a hard enough time with my own last name, Honholtz. So you're going to have to like put it in the dictionary form where you actually show how to pronounce it. I think if I get this wrong, I'm sorry. I think it's, okay. He said it sounds similar to tech support guy. So I think it's Tepsipornchai. I hope that's right. Cause I don't like it when people mess up my name. So Ecky, I really hope I didn't mess up yours, but he's actually a really great guy. You could follow him on Twitter and just look for the guy harassing me about pineapple pizza, you'll find Ecky. But he's a great guy and you should really follow him. He could use the support because the poor guy could say the sky is blue and the trolls come out. But he's been through it and he recognizes the panic that was induced by an illness that impacts people and in some sad, tragic cases takes people's lives. But we see that, Rich, you said it yourself. There are illnesses that do this likewise, whether it's pneumonia, whether it's the flu, whether it's bronchitis, especially with people who have underlying conditions. If you were to take those numbers, if we took rolled the tape back and went to 2019 before coronavirus ever existed, and we did with the flu or with pneumonia. Every single day just pounded this into people's minds, they would be as panicked over the flu or pneumonia as they would over coronavirus. And that's the tragic thing. We saw mass manipulation, massive manipulation. People are afraid of getting sick. And yet every single day of their lives prior to 2020, they always had a risk of getting sick and always had a potential of getting a strain of the flu that was horrible that could take lives. I mean, there were young people who got sick with the flu and died tragically. They didn't have underlying conditions. They weren't old. It was brutal on their body. And that's what coronavirus is doing in some cases. But because it's new and because we've been jammed with this all day, every day, it was mass manipulation. It was an experiment in what fear can do. And that was tragic to watch through 2020.
Well, I can't remember who said this, and it may have been from a book, or it may have come some from a movie or whatever, but and I'm going to paraphrase it on top of that, but whoever controls the media and the thinking of America controls the direction that that country's going to go. And that's proof positive just because of the, you know, mass hysteria created by the media, and not only news programs, but even in, you know, normal television shows and newspapers, if you actually still read a printed paper, and, you know, every kind of news outlet online. I mean, that's all you heard throughout the entire year.
Yeah.
And for whatever unknown reason, I think it all started when for whatever reason, toilet paper became a shortage. And that just freaked everyone out. And then it was one thing after another, after another, after another. And people are already stirred up into a hysteria type mode before, you know, they started slamming with all the COVID lockdowns and closing casinos and closing amusement parks and all of that, just, you know, one thing after another. And it just kept piling on and piling on and piling on to where, you know, at the start, even you and I were like, okay, we don't know what's really going on, but for the moment, you know, they're closing all these places. You know, we need to be obedient to our governments and, you know, distance and do all this. And then, you know, we had discussed at some point, you know, when do we say enough is enough? Well, for a lot of states, they made that very evidently clear when they started releasing restrictions on casinos and bars and other places, but wanted to still enforce those mandates on churches.
Mm-hmm.
So those churches in that area said, okay, enough is enough. You know, now this is targeted at a specific religion. It's targeted at the church. So we're not going to obey you anymore. And I know John MacArthur's church has come under a lot of heat from a lot of different people throughout the course of 2020 because they did not continue to comply. You know, when it became evident the governor of California was targeting churches, John MacArthur and his elders stepped up and said, nope, enough is enough. We're not going to obey you because it's evident this has nothing to do with health. It has all to do with you wanting to control everything under the sun. And I think that's one thing a lot of people have forgotten throughout 2020. We see this like in California or New York and a few other states, but it's not going on throughout the entire country. You know, there are still some states that want you to do masks and want this mandate and want this, this, and this. But on the same time, they'll, like my governor, you know, we're back under supposedly statewide mask mandate, except for like three counties, and want you to social distance, want you to wear the mask and do all that. But the governor will say, I do not have a right to tell a church they have to close. I do not have a right to tell you not to go to church.
Yeah.
We would prefer that you social distance and not gather and not do this, this, or this. But, you know, our governor, and he's come under a lot of heat as well for some of his questionable decisions throughout 2020. But when it comes right down to it, you know, he still has remained that I don't have the authority to tell a church they cannot meet. And he has stood to his word when he stated that he would not enforce closures of churches or things along those lines. So, I mean, you still have some, like my state, you know, it's gone back and forth on the whole mask mandate thing and closing this and limiting that. But they have at least remained constant on the fact that our state government has acknowledged the fact that they do not have the authority or the right to tell a church they cannot meet. But one thing it was obviously clear throughout 2020, especially in the last several months, was there are states out there that have made it abundantly clear they were targeting churches. They were trying to prevent churches from meeting and Christians gathering together. And, you know, sadly, there's been a lot of quote-unquote pastors within American evangelicalism that has come out and supported the government stance in those states, basically saying, you know, whatever that governor says, you need to be doing it, even if it is targeted specifically at churches. But one thing I want to add real quick and ask you before I turn it back over to you, throughout all of these news stories and everything else we've heard about in 2020, did you hear about government forced closings of any mosque?
With regard to mosques, no. I know that Cuomo went after the synagogue something fierce and drew a lot of criticism with allegations of anti-Semitism. I think mosques, I don't think that, even if that, let me put it this way. I don't think there was a politician brave enough to do that. I don't think any one of them would have done that, because of the allegations that would have come down of racism and discrimination in that side. But it was okay, definitely, to go after Christian churches and synagogues. And the sad part about it, brother, is that you are absolutely correct. You and I both, when we first started talking about it, we were responding to a lot of Christians who were like, how dare a church shut down that the government can't say? And it's like, hold on, back the truck up. Here's what we're being told. Here's what's being said about it. Here's the danger levels. Here's what the reports are saying. These churches that are doing this are doing it because they believe they're doing the right thing. And so we knew there was a danger there, because you asked the same question, you know, which is the question you asked a little ago, where's the line? And it was like, don't know yet. And then as it became more increasingly the evident that, you know, the thing that's sickening about how this has played out in a lot of ways is when you have people like Rick Warren who are saying, oh, the churches aren't being discriminated against. Rick Warren shut his church down and then hawked his business model and said, yeah, this is how the churches are going to survive in the years to come. We need to do all these things. Rick Warren had some things that were legit as far as like discipleship courses and, you know, feeding the hungry and stuff like that. But he made it sound like those were the things that actually made you a church. And that if the only thing you had was worship, by the way, worship is not just music. Worship is the entirety of the Christian life part, and a big part of which we are commanded to come together so that we are in corporate prayer and singing and study together and doing the one another's. That's all worship. You know, that was what was sickening to watch, when you have even big name evangelicals who criticize churches, criticize, as you said, John MacArthur, for stepping up and saying, no, the government doesn't get to say you can't meet. And I think that was one of the disturbing trends of 2020, was the divisiveness that came out of, at some point we have to let people live their lives. At some point we have to recognize that there are rights that you cannot deny to people just because you're on a power trip and you like to be able to tell people to stay home. And then, of course, the obvious hypocrisy of it was when, and this was another aspect of 2020, was the quote-unquote peaceful protests, the riots that broke out in virtually every aspect of our nation under the guise of, the false premise of, you know, police are killing innocent black people in the streets under the guise of racism is rampant and systemic. And yet those were acceptable. Those could be excused under virtually every opportunity. There was not a politician I ever saw that shut down a church that ever criticized the quote unquote peaceful protests. I mean, they went to great lengths. Was it Washington where you had someone going, oh no, this is nothing but a peaceful protest. All of this is being blown out of proportion. And they're showing video as she's talking of the streets being lit on fire, businesses being destroyed. And yet, oh no, that's a peaceful protest. I mean, you talk about gaslighting. What happened during 2020 in terms of those things? It is no wonder that we roll into 2021 with a certain amount of trepidation. And then all of this surrounding the 2020 election cycle. Yeah, there's a topic I don't want to get into. But the thing that I think 2020 did for us, Rich, is I think it exposed something. And I posted this during the year. This is probably a couple months ago. And I know there were some folks that took some exception to how I phrased it. And this is the problem, of course, with social media. It's, you can only put so much information and you can't cover every caveat. But I think there was something about 2020, Rich, that it exposed something, at least within the American church, that I think we need to work on in 2021. And you and I were talking about this in pre-show. We should have every intent to defend, for example, the right of the church under the Constitution to gather, proclaim the gospel, do the work of the church, etc. We should stand up for, or let's say stand up against, government overreach. We should care enough about our neighbors to do things that are right, but not mislead them and allow them to be led into panic and fear. We should care about genuine injustice, not the trumped up. There's a phrase we're never going to be able to use properly again. Trumped up charges of systemic racism and police brutality. We should care about genuine injustice. We should care about our brothers and sisters in Christ who genuinely have been discriminated against, but we should not incorporate into the church, as we saw so much in 2020, false narratives about systemic racism, false narratives about police brutality, false narratives that are meant to get the entire culture whipped up into a lather, but never actually examining the truth. And we should stand against all of those things. And we should stand in opposition to anything that would have someone telling the church, you can't be the church. You can't do what the church is supposed to do. But also, Rich, one of the things that I think is endemic to the Christian church in America is a sense of, because we are Americans and because we have this Constitution, that almost... And this is where I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. It's almost as if we have kind of equated the comfort and the prosperity of being an American. And mind you, prosperity is a relative term. Because even the people who are, again, this is going to get me in trouble. Even in America, the poor tend to be, if you look at the rest of the world, sometimes better off than the rest of the world. That's not to say that someone who's poor in America isn't genuinely poor and isn't in need. I'm not saying that. That's why I know somebody's going to get mad at me for saying that. But there's a sense in which we have become... it's like a fish who doesn't know it's wet. This is the nature of things in America. And it's why when we hear, for example... laws in the UK about firearms or knife turn-ins or whatever, we mock it because we have these protections here, but the rest of the world goes, we don't have those protections. So why are you so defensive about it? We've become so enraptured into that, so enrobed in it, that I think when we hear these things coming, I don't know where we put our eyes sometimes, Rich. Does that make sense? That our eyes are on that particular battle, which may not necessarily be a bad thing, but are they focused eternally where they should be, knowing there may come a day that that is genuinely taken away from us? Does that make sense?
Well, I think what you're saying is that within American evangelicalism and America as a whole, we put our hope in our freedom instead of putting our hope in our faith.
Yeah. And I think that's, I think 2020 revealed some of that. I mean, look at the entire election cycle. And golly, I hate to bring up the election cycle because it's still not over. And okay, another thing that's going to get me in trouble. I am firmly convinced that the person who will be sworn into office is not going to be Donald Trump. I'm firmly convinced of that. A lot of people right now are hanging their hopes on the next couple of days. Who knows? God is sovereign. He's in control. I don't know who's going to be sworn in. I'm not confident, based on what has happened to date, that it will be Trump. But look what happened during the election cycle. There is no doubt that many Christians in 2016 held their nose as they pulled the lever for Donald Trump. You and I were very vocal about our opposition to him. And in, you know, as we got closer to the 2020 election, you and I both pointed out that our positions shifted. We were honest about the fact that we didn't trust him. We still had some problems with his character. But when it came down to it, Trump had actually, excuse me, I just had an air bubble. When it came down to it, Trump did things that we didn't expect him to do to try and hold to his promises. And when faced with the rank Marxism and socialism that was going to be under Biden and Harris, the choice seemed to be very clear. I have little doubt that there were people in 2016 who did this for the same reason, pulled the lever for Trump because of what Hillary Clinton represented. And yet in 2020, and I'm not saying this is every Christian, and this is just across the board in America, there was just this almost hypnotic sense that Trump was like this perfect president. And I think so much of it, and again, I'm not saying that's of Christianity in general. I'm just talking about what we watched during the election. And in that was this battle that how dare Christians vote for this man, and Christians going, how dare we not vote for this man because of the, you know, the freedoms and everything. And the battle became about the politics and the freedoms. I won't say it didn't happen. I will just say that I didn't always see a lot of theology in the discussion of the election. And usually if theology was brought up, it was by the leftists who said it was okay to vote for Biden. And we talked about that not long ago. So we won't rehash that discussion. But it was, and again, I know that's a generalization that some people are going to object to. And I'm not trying to say that there weren't theological reasons people genuinely voted for him. I'm not saying that we should have just hung up our hats and said, well, he was a terrible character and we shouldn't have voted for him and just invite socialism in. I'm not saying any of those things. I just say, I just want us to, you know, as we go into 2021, Rich, whoever is sworn in, it doesn't matter whether it's Trump or Biden in the eternal sense, because whether we are under a president who does try to protect the Constitution or a president who uses the Constitution to wipe his nose and throw it in the garbage, Our mandate from God is still clear. We are still to proclaim the gospel, make disciples. We're still to fix our eyes on Christ and recognize our citizenship is not here but in heaven. And that our hope, as we go into 2021, will have nothing to do with the circumstances, though those circumstances may be entirely painful, but that our hope and our joy and our peace, even in the midst of trial and tribulation, is Christ. And I think the problem that we sometimes face in America, like you were saying, it's that love of our freedoms. And believe me, I love my freedom. I am grateful beyond measure that the Lord allowed me to be born in such a place, that I've been allowed to raise my family here, that I've been able to hold a job that would provide for my family for over two decades now. And I've had the freedom to live where I wanted, to do the job that I wanted. I'm blessed beyond measure to be in such a place. But I think the problem with sometimes when we are focused so much on that freedom and that prosperity that comes from living in such a nation, that when that is threatened, and it is threatened, believe me, it is threatened, we don't see what I think a Christian in the Middle East or in China or in North Korea sees. Because there, if they don't have such a thing. There is no freedom of speech. There is no freedom of religion. You can take your life in your hands by professing Christ as Lord. yet sometimes they have greater peace about the challenges and the sufferings and the trials that they face, because what else have they got but Christ? And so, Rich, I know I can hear the objections now, and I haven't even uploaded the show. but I wonder if what we can do in this year is help Christians not to just, oh, who cares about our freedoms, because that's not what we're advocating for, but maybe what we can do in this year, especially if it's 2020, the sequel, is to help one another fix our eyes on Christ. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely, brother. And sadly, even among some of our solid brothers and sisters, watching some of the interactions online, I think that focus on Christ has at times getting redirected to more earthly endeavors, whether it's the election or COVID or one of the other 100 things that came out of 2020. But for 2021, I would encourage all of our brothers and sisters in Christ to make a conscious effort, focused effort, to focus more on Christ and His Word throughout the course of this year. One thing that seems to be pretty constant among a lot of brothers and sisters I talk with and interact with is everyone, including myself, confesses to the fact that we're not as diligent in our prayer life as what we should be. We tend to be more reactionary when it comes to prayer, meaning when something's going wrong, then we turn to prayer instead of focusing on praying to Christ every day and not praying, asking for help with this or end of illness for this person. But we tend to forget that, as Matthew, I think it's Matthew 6, verse 33 states, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. We tend to focus more on me, need, I, want, versus wrapping everything in thanksgiving to Christ. You know, even things like thanking the Lord for every gift, blessing, and mercy He grants us, known and unknown. Thanking the Lord for the discipline that He imposes on us, because the Lord disciplined those that He loves. We need to kind of redirect our focus and focus on the blessings, focus on the sovereignty of Christ, focus on the holiness of Christ, pray that the Lord opens our heart and increases our capacity for learning and understanding, you know, things along these lines that generally we tend to forget about. You know, and something kind of emerged in the last several days, and I really can't say how I got the idea, but, you know, there was a lot of, as usual, at the end of 2020, everyone was talking about Bible reading plans. Well, I started posting about prayer, daily prayer plans. And, you know, that's something we never hear, we never discuss, is having a plan for our prayers.
Yeah.
Because generally, like I say, we tend to be more reactionary when it comes to prayer. If someone asks for prayer for a loved one or a family member or a friend because they're sick or this happened or that happened, you know, we'll stop and pray for that person. But when do we ever actually focus and plan out certain prayers? You know, I'm not saying not to, you know, we do need to stop and pray when we feel the Spirit move us to pray for someone or a situation or whatever. But on top of that, we need to be in prayer to ask the Lord to not bless us physically or materially, but with wisdom and understanding and depth of knowledge, mm-hmm. and granting us the desire to live a life that is holy and pleasing to Him. You know, the characteristics and the attributes of fruit of the Spirit, we need to focus on those things and be asking and pleading with the Lord to increase us in those areas. And I don't think most people do that, do they?
You know, I don't know. That's the question I think a lot of us have to ask ourselves is, you know, are we are we bringing that before the Lord? Are we asking God for that kind of change in our lives? I think that's it's a good point to say. You are right. Right now. I mean, by the way, speaking of reading plans, I'm going to sidetrack a little bit. Go get Nate Pickowitz's book. It comes out tomorrow. How to Eat Your Bible. I read it. I loved it. Hopefully we can coax Nate onto the show at some point and talk about it. And the study and understanding of his word is paramount. But you're right, Rich. Do we make that same kind of plan? Do we make that same kind of commitment to prayer? I think you and I are, again, talking in pre-show. Let's say that 2021 becomes all the things that we fear. Biden becomes president. There's a definite push to pack the courts. There's a definite push to shut down churches. And homeschoolers, get all their rights taken away from them. And it just becomes the Marxist utopia that the left wants, which is no utopia at all. It's everybody under their thumb. Have we prepared ourselves for that? I mean, eventually that can happen. We spent so much time in 2020 talking about how to prevent it. The election, the lawsuits, the challenges, etc. Putting Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court. All of this, let's say 2021 becomes that ground zero for all of that. Have we prepared ourselves for that? Have we gotten on our knees and prayed that God would prepare us for that? I got to be honest with you. I don't think I've prayed that. I've prayed that God would help me to trust him no matter what happens. But have I prayed that when this all starts to happen, that I'm ready for it, that I expect it? And that's what I mean when I say I don't think American Christians, and I mean this even in terms of the people that listen to this show, like Bible believing Christians, not Rick Warren Christians, not Joel Osteen Christians, not Paula White, so quote unquote Christians. I'm talking about Bible believing, sound biblical Christians. I think because like a fish that doesn't know it's wet, we are so used to the freedom that we have. I don't know that we've prayed, Lord, prepare me for genuine persecution. Prepare me to live in a culture that will be dominated by hatred for your word. Prepare me to raise my children to stand. I know that some people would look at me and say, Chris, how dare you talk about such a thing? You need to stand against this. I believe we should stand against it. But look at history. History is replete with people who are Christians, who maybe for a period of time lived in relative freedom, that as the culture changed, they became the persecuted. It happens. The shelf life of a democratic republic, we've pretty much reached it. We've not seen in history a democratic republic last as long as America has. The ideals that founded this nation have been jettisoned by the culture at large for a lot of reasons, and we can talk about those, but the reasons don't change where we're at. Knowing the reasons is important, and knowing how we can deal with that in the political arena is important, but it doesn't change the reality of where we may find ourselves. So what is the primary duty that I want us to be ready for? I don't want to scare people with this, Rich. I don't want to get people thinking, oh, they've given up, they don't care. We do care. But we also think that it's extremely important going into 2021 that we're heart, mind, and soul, that we are prepared for a time when maybe just we lose those freedoms. And if we do, what do we do then? What if every effort we make fails? Now, God is sovereign, completely sovereign. And if God wants all those things to fail, he will let them fail. But we all talk about, you know, times of suffering. Usually we're talking about like a loss of a family member, a child or a spouse, divorce, illness, loss of a job. And we talk about trusting God because God is sovereign. What if God allows the American experiment to fail? What if the freedoms one day are gone? Are you prepared for that? Have you prepared your heart and your mind and your soul for that? Have you prepared your family, pastors? Have you prepared your congregations? Have you taught them to fix their eyes so tightly on Christ when nothing else is available to them? They've lost all control of the world around them, but they have Christ. When Paul was adrift in the ocean or being beaten for his faith, when Peter was thrown in a prison, when the apostles were facing martyrdom, when the martyrs of the saints of old went to the stake and they're singing hymns, how could they do it when they had lost all? Go ahead.
Just briefly, one reason they could do that is sorely forgotten, is that they prayed and gave praise and glory to Christ during the peaceful prosperity times, during the times when all this other wasn't going on. And I think that has been forgotten in this country, is that prayer is meant for all times, not just times of hardship and suffering. But we need to be reaching out to the Lord in prayer during the quote-unquote peaceful times when, you know, just a mundane, ordinary week. Mm-hmm. We need to get in the habit of praying, but we also need to get into the habit of praying kingdom-type prayers, meaning we give thanks to the Lord for these blessings that we take for granted, such as, you know, air conditioning in the summertime in the South, or heat in your home if you live up north in the minus 30 wind chills of the winter. You know, we need to open our minds up and realize that everything in our life, good, bad, great, horrible, all give glory to God. And we need to be thankful to Christ through all of it, because if we're suffering, it's for our benefit and his glory. And if we're prospering, it's for our benefit and his glory.
Mm-hmm.
And amen. if we don't learn how to pray during times of ease, how are we going to know how to pray during times of conflict and struggle?
Amen. Amen. And it's that preparing that we need to do. It's laying that foundation. It's knowing the word of God backwards and forwards. It's, you know, being able to apply it in your life. It's praying and giving glory to God in all things, good and bad, as you said, Rich. All of those things. It's, and believe me, neither Rich or I want to come into this episode with the first one of the year and say, well, 2021 is going to be a big fat bummer. Yeah, they're going to be, even if Biden is the one sworn in, even if taxes go up, even if freedoms are eroded, there will still be beauty and joy in this world. Okay, we're, you know, it's not going to be all doom and gloom. We made it through 8 years of Obama, folks. I mean, come on. But we, you know, will we, could this be the turning point? Yeah, I think it could. I think this could be the turning point for what happens down the road for the remainder of American history. It could. It's entirely possible. So, if that happens, what have you done to prepare your heart? How can you fix your eyes on Christ? And I hope we've hammered this hard. You gotta be praying. You gotta be giving thanks. You know, when's the last time you gave thanks to God when your water heater went out? Did you do like I did and, you know, come screaming home, you know, shutting everything down and grumping and mumbling? Or did you say, thank you, Lord, that I live in a place where I can get this repaired overnight. And, you know, that the loss of the water heater was your provision in my life for a reason, even if I don't understand. Did you do that? Because if you don't pray that, how can you pray if, you know, a prayer of thanks if Joe Biden is sworn into office? Because we have to give thanks to God in all things. And I think some of us, on the day that swearing in happens, if it is indeed Joe Biden, I wonder how many of us will pray and give glory to God. How many of us will look to Christ and say, this is Romans 8:38, that all things happen, right? All things happen for His glory and for our good, right? Are we going to do that was it the 21st? I think it is the 21st, I think. Are we going to be able to do that? Are we going to give glory to God in the midst of what seems to be terrible? What if COVID 2021, the new terrible virus that isn't as deadly, but somehow more contagious, that's what they're saying now. Are we going to give glory to God? If our entire nation turns into, you must mask and vaccine everywhere to do anything, are we going to give glory to God? We need to do that. We have to be focused like a laser beam on Christ.
Well, one thing I would like to suggest, and for the record, I'm not pious or, you know, consider myself holy or anything else. I just share what the Lord puts on my heart. And, you know, I read and study and in my flesh do the best I can to walk in the Spirit. But, you know, at one point last year, I realized I did not pray enough. And it may have been the earlier part of the year. I'm not real sure when it transpired. But in my case, I'm borderline OCD at times. So once I get in a routine or I set a habit, I do pretty good about sticking to that habit, because it just feels odd if I break that habit. And I started out and I set to pray 3 times a day. I pray when I wake up, I pray before I eat dinner, and I pray before I go to bed. Granted, my wake up prayer generally is the Lord's Prayer, but I started out like that, and that got me in the habit of praying. And over the course of time, the Lord used that to where I feel the urge now to pray at times that I would not have before. When I see someone online make a prayer request, I'll stop and pray right then and not decide to wait and pray later, because more times than not, I'll forget. And things like that. And like I was saying earlier, the daily prayer plan kind of emerged, and I've started posting a suggested prayer each day as part of it. And I'm going to endeavor to do that every day this year and work out, for lack of a better word, a prayer plan. And, you know, I had posted for other people to give me suggestions, but I'm just going through the Bible and finding different characteristics of the Lord, different things that we're told in the Bible, like the fruit of the Spirit, and focusing on things like that and establish an actual prayer plan and do that and focus on things that give Him praise, give thanks to the Lord, things that we might tend to forget about from time to time, and focus more on giving thanks to Him and His attributes versus giving thanks for, you know, personal blessings or only going to Christ in a time of need.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of people have a problem with R.A. Torrey. I personally like some of his writings. I don't agree with a great deal of his theology, but there is one book he wrote that I would encourage people to read, and it's 99% solid. But he wrote a book called How to Pray. And if your prayer life is lacking, I would encourage you to read a copy of that book. There are versions of it online for free. You can just Google R.A. Torrey, How to Pray, and you can find those free editions online. But I would recommend reading that, because it will impact and change your view of prayer, both how to pray and other things that, you know, are associated with prayer. One thing he wrote about that I really like, and I don't remember if it was from this book or another one, but he wrote, "The chief purpose of prayer is that God may be glorified in the answer," meaning God is glorified whether the answer is no, yes, or wait. And I think we tend to forget that because we live in an instant society, meaning we want everything now. If we don't have it 5 minutes to now, 5 minutes from now, that's too long. Mm-hmm. But we have to remember that the Lord does answer all prayers, but sometimes that answer is no, and a lot of times the answer is wait. Yeah. And to put that in perspective, in another book, R.A. Torrey wrote about praying for salvation for his brother. And he prayed that the Lord would grant his brother salvation, and he prayed every day. And 15 years later, the Lord blessed his brother with salvation. But R.A. Torrey endeavored for 15 years praying every day for the Lord to grant his brother salvation. That is being very, my mind went blank patient. On the word, persistent, patient, yeah. Persistent, and perseverance. And that I say that as a hope of some encouragement to some other people. You know, if you have a family member or a loved one or a friend that you're praying for Lord to grant them salvation, don't give up. Yeah. Just like that with R.A. Torrey, he prayed for 15 years before the Lord blessed his brother with salvation. As long as that person is breathing and here on earth, there's still hope of salvation for that person.
Amen.
That's why when we leave a tract or we share the gospel with someone, we don't know, but the Lord may be using that to answer another person's prayer for salvation for that person. We never know how the Lord may use what we say or what we do. And remember that even during times of facing a year like we expect 21 to be, the Lord will be glorified because there will be people brought to salvation. There will be truth exposed. Darkness will be exposed. And just like towards the end of 2020, when we saw quote unquote churches splitting and supporting unbiblical values, God is glorified because that's making it more clear and evident to brothers and sisters truly in Christ that church is not a church at all, but a social club that's more interested in the society and culture and the thinking of the day than they are in what thus saith the Lord. Does that make sense, brother?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Folks, persistence in prayer, persistence in the study of the Word, and fixing our eyes on Christ, and preaching the gospel at every turn. Let's make that the hallmark of 2021. We have to keep our eyes focused on Christ right now. Believe me when I say none of what has happened in 2020 and the critical race theory, the COVID, the riots, the manipulation, the fraud, all of those things that happened. It's not that we're saying that those weren't important, that, oh, we just need to be spiritual and not care about the things of this world. We do. But at the end of the day, what are we going to focus on? Our focus must be Christ. It absolutely must be Christ, because this world is not our home. We have an eternal city waiting for us. Our citizenship is in heaven. And Christ, I believe, in 2020 exposed something for us that we need to remember. That while it is important to fight for the freedoms that we have, and we should, ultimately, I should be more concerned about glorifying God and preaching his gospel, even if all freedoms are taken from me. Even if the worst were to happen, and we're not saying that it will. We're saying that even if the worst were to happen, I still have joy in Christ because he is my Savior. He has promised that there will come a day when we no longer have to deal with these struggles, with these pains, with this wicked and evil world. And we are a wicked and evil world. My word, do we need to preach the gospel right now? I mean, we've got a man who stood in Congress, who's supposed to be a minister of the word of God, who preached or prayed in the name of Brahma, a pagan deity, and then made up a word, said men and a women. This is a man who's supposed to be a preacher of the word of God, and he just blasphemed the Lord. We've got an entire nation in that just legalized abortion, and women were dancing in the streets over this. It is a wicked and evil world. And I think we are seeing that more every day. And so what joy we have in Christ Jesus, because there's coming a day, as we said this in a previous program, there's coming a day when he will come in judgment and he will take all these evil people that have rejected him and blasphemed him and destroyed people in his name, destroyed his church for their purposes. And I think I just misspoke. Blasphemed his name for their purposes, and attacked his church for their purposes, and he will judge them all. And that should terrify us, because apart from Christ, that'd be us. And so we have this great joy knowing that we will enter triumphantly into the throne room of God because of what Christ has done on our behalf. This amazing gift of grace. So no matter what happens in 2021, and pray like nobody's business that God is merciful to this nation. We don't deserve it. Okay, I've said this before. Biden and Harris, that's the tip of the iceberg of the wrath of God that this nation deserves. Pray for his mercy every day. And then get out there and preach the gospel, as Rich says every week. Find somebody to share the gospel with. Because if 2020 showed us anything, it is a nation of America is steeped up to our necks with people dead in their trespasses and sins. We are drowning in wickedness. You have a mission field that is ripe for harvest. Get out there. Don't be afraid anymore. There's no reason to be concerned about people hating you. They already do. We saw it. 2020 proved that. Get out there. Preach the gospel. Minister to one another. Love one another. Comfort one another. Be there for your pastors. Build them up. And pastors, equip your people for the worst that could happen so that their eyes are eternally fixed on Christ. Because if 2021 is going to be anything, let it be the year that American Christians went, whatever may happen this year, I will not lose sight of Christ. Let's do that. Let's be laser focused on him. Go ahead, brother.
I'd like to add, pray for our leaders at every level, amen, whether it be president or your city mayor. Pray that the Lord bless them with wisdom, sound counsel, but out of everything, pray that the Lord grant them salvation.
Amen.
Could you imagine Biden being sworn in as president, someone sharing a true, solid gospel presentation to him, and seeing Biden as president be granted salvation and denounce all that he has stood for that God hates? Would that not be the most marvelous thing ever to witness in our lifetime?
Amen. Amen. So, folks, we didn't say that these things aren't important. I've said that a lot of times now. So the first one of you that sends us a message and says, you have given up on, I'm going to delete it. I'm not going to respond to you. What we did say is they are important, and fight for those things and stand against genuine injustice and stand against sin and stand for the rights of of yourself and your fellow citizens. By all means, do it. But your focus, let it be on Christ. Let it be on the gospel of grace. Study your word, prepare your heart, pray, and then get busy. because the fields are ripe. These people need Christ. And Pastor Ecky said this on his page. He and I were chit-chatting the other day. For all the heat he takes for saying something as simple as it's a literal six-day creation, or the Bible is clear, women can't be pastors. For all the heat he takes and all the trolls that come out, the numbers that follow him go up. Why? Because there are people desperate to hear the word of God. Get out there and preach the gospel to somebody today. And I say this as someone who has not been very involved in evangelism over the years. I used to be heavily involved, and not so much now. I need to fix that. Get out there. Share it with somebody, please. Fix your eyes on Jesus and pray for his will to be done. Thank you for being with us for this first show of 2021. We are grateful for you. It'd be interesting to see what this year brings. I have no idea what God has in store. God seems to want to keep us on the air. Some of you have been involved in getting us on the lips of other names that I'm not going to drop because that's weird. That would be just kind of mean and sound like we're patting ourselves on the back. But somehow our names are getting pulled into conversations that Rich and I are going, how did we get into this? Our names are with these names in this thread, and those names are much smarter than us. So there is something about you guys that God is using to keep this show going. And it just spins my brain in circles. I know Rich feels the same way. So we will continue to be on the air as much as God allows us to be. So pray for us that we will be devoted this year to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the equipping of the saints, and bringing glory to God. That's what we started 2021 with. We want you all to bring glory to God no matter what this year brings. Hold us accountable to that we are bringing glory to God, that we are talking about his word and his will and his sovereignty and his gospel. Hold us accountable to that, please. And then we'll see what 2021 brings. God bless you guys. We appreciate you. We look forward to seeing and talking with you next time. God bless and good night.